You sometimes keep eating after you're full. Have you ever set your heart on some possession? I don't know, maybe a piece of jewelry, maybe a new car, whatever. And you work for it, you long for it, you think about it, and then when you get it, somebody else has a nicer one and it just feels disappointing. Or maybe you take it to the store and somebody backs into the side of it and scratches it all up, and you think, this isn't going the way I had thought it might go. I'm not as happy as I thought I should be. It's probably not anything new to you, this concept that material things don't really satisfy us on a deeper level, at least not for long. But it's easy to get caught up in material things. Material things are very real and solid and present to the mind and body that's living in us in this natural world. They just seem very real. Things seem shiny and glitzy or tasty or smooth or soft or delightful or sensual. I mean, there's so many different things that the body promises that we're going to find joy from. So there's food. There's excitement. You know, some people talk about being adrenaline junkies. I know a nurse who works in the emergency room, and she loves the excitement of it, right? You know, people dying all around her, accidents, shooting victims coming in, and it's just buzz, 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 buzz all day, trying to do the best you can and loving the adrenaline rush, right? That's satisfying. Some people get caught up in gambling, and that excitement of getting something for nothing, or alcohol, that feeling of, the stress goes away. Some people get tied up in addiction to sex, or as young people, into pornography, and really, really struggle with it all their lives. I knew a man who had a beautiful, beautiful wife, and it was like all he could want, but he'd been battling with this addiction to pornography for years, and she finally left him over it. She said, I just can't be with you if you're doing that kind of stuff. And it was like he couldn't stop. So, you know, we have all these things that speak to us about, you know, how we're going to find joy in our lives. But the message today and the stories that we're reading are really all about the Lord who feeds us and brings us heavenly joy. John chapter 6 is an amazing chapter. It's quite long. Lots of things happen in it. And I couldn't begin to read it all today, but I invite you to go home and look it up on the internet or Bible Gateway or something like that, or maybe you have a Bible, open it up and read John chapter 6. It's amazing. But here we have the story I talked to the children about, the feeding of the 5,000. And that was amazing. People said afterwards, surely this is the promised one, the one who has been foretold in prophecy. And they were really excited about him. And the Lord realized that they wanted to take him and make him king over Israel right then and there. And so he sent his disciples away. The disciples got into the boat and crossed the Sea of Tiberias, and the Lord went by himself and hid up in the mountains over the night. And the crowd dispersed. But the next morning, the crowds looking for him, they knew that the disciples left and went over to the other side in the boat and that the Lord wasn't with them. So they're looking for the Lord and looking for the Lord, and they're not finding him. Jesus came down during the night, walked on the water during a storm to where the disciples were in the boat, and they all got to shore on the other side. So the next day, eventually, this crowd of people ended up on the other side of the Sea of Tiberias. They got boats and went over following the Lord, and they found him on the other side, and they said, Rabbi, how did you get here? And the Lord knew their hearts, because he didn't answer their question. Instead, he said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles or the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And I think the Lord was asking us to look at our own motives when we are doing things, when we're trying to follow the Lord, when we're trying to learn what's right, when we're trying to be useful, whatever it is that we're trying to find to satisfy our souls, the Lord says, look at what you're trying to feed. Because he said to the crowd, you're not looking for me because you saw the signs, but because you ate bread and were filled. So let's turn in our pew card to the reading in John 6, further on in the story. The Lord says to them, this is verses 47 through 51, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And you notice here the Lord's making a connection between the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, his own presence and work in the natural world at that time, and the miracle that Yehovah did for the children of Israel, feeding them for 40 years every day, the daily bread of manna. And the Lord was making this connection because the God who gave the manna, the God who told Moses, tell the people, I am, has sent you, is the source of everything. And when Jesus said, I am the bread of life, he was connecting himself to that very God as the same God. I am the bread of life. And he was saying that his flesh was what he would give to people. And, you know, sometimes when we think about communion or the Holy Supper, we come and we eat the bread and we drink the wine as part of that ritual that the Lord gave his disciples, we might feel confused about the idea that the Lord is saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And here he's saying, the bread that I will give is my flesh. But if we think back to Yahuwah saying, I am, when Jesus says my flesh, he's talking about who he really is. You know, we have to take who the Lord really is into our hearts. And the Lord came into the world so that we might know who he is, so that we might know what the bread of life looks like, because the inmost of God is love. And Jesus coming into the world, healing people, feeding people, ministering to the sick, teaching us the way to heaven were all manifestations of or showing to us the love of God in ways that we could see God as a person who knows us and cares about us and wants to be with us. So thinking about bread in the next reading, which is the Secrets of Heaven, number 276. Bread means everything of a spiritual or heavenly character, which is food for the angels. If they were deprived of it, they could not live, any more than a person deprived of bread or food can. The heavenly and spiritual things existing in heaven also correspond to bread on earth. Moreover, they are represented by bread, as can be seen in many passages. The Lord is bread, because everything heavenly or spiritual comes from him, as he teaches in John. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. So in the institution of the Lord's Supper and here and in the feeding of the 5,000, the Lord is calling bread his flesh because it is who he is to love. God is love. We say that. Well, God is love, and love is the force, the power in everything. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, the Lord says, which I will give for the life of the world. Sometimes when people hear those words, they're just thinking about the Lord dying on the cross. And dying on the cross was part of the Lord's work, part of putting off what was material and taking on what was fully divine from the Father, so that he could say in fullness, I and the Father are one. So that was part of it. But the Lord's purpose in doing that wasn't to pay for our sins. It was to feed us with the life that sustains us. And we just read about how angels would perish if they didn't have goodness and truth in their lives. Well, you know, the reason you're standing in front of the refrigerator feeling hungry is because your spirit is hungry for the things that the Lord's offering you. And your body thinks you need food. Get into the refrigerator and start eating something. But we, just like the angels, need the bread of life from the Lord. So I want to talk about the joy of service, because the joy of service is connected intimately to the love of God. God is the desire to bless us. He makes us so that he can be joined with us and make us happy. We're taught this in the teachings of the New Church in Divine Love and Wisdom 47. The essence of love is not to love self, but to love others, and through love to be joined with them. Love consists in willing what one has to be another's. So whatever I have is yours, is that's the nature of love. And feeling the other's delight as delight in oneself. Because when we can make another person happy, if we have love in our hearts, that love rejoices at the other person's happiness. So there's all kinds of ways that we connect to useful service. The teachings of the New Church say that the most important way is that we just do our job day to day as well and faithfully and honestly as we can, because that's the way most of us are able to be of the greatest service in our community. But the Lord also talked about recognizing needs in others, the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, and in prison are all people that the Lord said, if you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. We connect with the Lord's love. The Lord loves people who are in need, who loves people who are struggling, loves people who are hurting, loves people who are in disorder, loves people who are in evil, and wants them to be blessed. And when we can participate with them, with Him in blessing others, we are connecting to the source of all happiness. So parents connect to the Lord, the source of all happiness, when they are parenting. Sunday school teachers, we got some out here right now today, are connecting with the Lord as they express the love of the Lord that they have to those children. Workers from all walks of life, volunteers, greeters, ushers, people putting up the sound or people sending out the live stream are all in a position to do it to the best of their ability because it serves the Lord's kingdom. And, you know, as we get older, we're not all able to work anymore. And as we get older, we're maybe not able to do the volunteering kinds of things or get out and help in ways that we used to in the past. And people talk about feeling useless or, feeling like they don't have a purpose anymore. But anytime we can be aware of somebody else in our life who's struggling, who's suffering, who's depressed, who's having marriage difficulties, problems with their children, and you reach out to them in some small way, just showing them that they are loved. You know, if you can send a note, write an email, fire off an emoji to someone who said something that says, "I'm fearful." Whatever ways, there are so many ways that we can connect with the Lord. We can show the Lord's love for them, help them to feel that while they are feeling worthless and hopeless and full of despair, the Lord loves them and wants to raise them up and wants to feed them, and we are working with Him for that purpose. I have a minister friend who was talking the other day about a group of people he has. They're new to the church, and he's teaching them the teachings of the church, and they're so excited to discover the nature of God's love in the doctrines of the new church and the wonderful love that the Lord has for them. And he was speaking about his own joy at connecting with their joy. And this isn't any different from the joy that the angels feel. Jesus talked about the lost sheep, and he said there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who has repented. The angels rejoice when people are turned to the Lord, and we have so many opportunities to be a part of that work. We're continually being given choices in our life between food that perishes, you know, meeting our own physical needs or taking care of our own wants, and being of useful service to others, the food that lasts. So in the task card on the last page, the reflection says, "He calls himself the bread of life." Throughout our lives, the Lord offers us the food we need to nourish our spirits, and we don't often recognize what it is. So this reflection is inviting us to be conscious of the ways we find happiness. Kind of like the children of Israel walking around in the desert early in the morning, and there's these little flakes, and they say, "Manna, manna," which in the language means, "What is it? What is it?" Well, it's going to feed you. And, you know, you look around in your life and you might think you need something big or glorious or dramatic or a huge feast or something like that to feed your spirit. No, it's in the little things we do. Little moments where we pick up the manna and we find heavenly joy. We labor for food that doesn't satisfy so often. So the task is, notice when you feel cravings. when you feel empty or hungry, ask yourself if it is spiritual hunger or physical hunger. Notice what gives lasting satisfaction and what leaves you feeling empty or hungry after a short time. Amen.